Thank you, Keith. You can bring down the screen. We are continuing this morning in our study in the life of Abraham. And I'm going back just a few verses because we got into this a little bit last week. Abraham has been called by God to fulfill the promise that God has called him to. Let me just reiterate the wonderful words that God says to him in Genesis chapter 12. This is before this passage, that God said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I will bless you. Your name will be great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. All this affirmation, all this promise that God had given to Abraham, he travels, he follows this promise, and then he comes to the land of promise there where the Canaanites were. And there he built an altar to the Lord and worshiped the Lord. And this is now where we pick up in Genesis chapter 12. I'll read these verses, which really is talking about Abraham's downfall. I told you last week the best thing about Abraham was that he's just like you and me. I know that he is a friend of God. We're a friend of God also. I know that God did great things through him, and God wants to do great things through us. And yet this shows us the vulnerability and the limitation and the finiteness and the sinfulness of even a great patriarch as Abraham. Now, there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. It came about that when he came near to Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, see now, I know that you are a beautiful woman, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sisters, that it may go well with me because of you, that I may live on account of you. It came about when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Therefore he treated Abram well for her sake and gave him sheep and ox and donkey and male and female servants and female donkeys and camels. I once heard a pilot talk about a plane crash. And he says, let me tell you something. Whenever there's a plane crash, there's not one problem. There are a series of many problems. That the way the planes are built and the safeguard of it and the backups to it, that when there's something that really happens, there's a number of things that have gone wrong. Now, we're going to look here at a situation here in Abraham's life, and we're going to see the same thing. In this situation, Abraham crashes and burns, I'll tell you that. At the end, it's a disaster. But it all started with something happened that led to something else happening, that leads to something else happening, that leads to something else happening, that ultimately brings down the problem and the situation. The first thing, obviously, when we look at this, is that it says there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there. The first problem was that Abraham thought there was a problem. God didn't direct him to go to Egypt. God directed him to go to Canaan. And God directed him to a specific place called Bethel, where he built an altar there, and the Lord met with him. Now, a famine was a problem, but couldn't God take care of him? Wasn't God able to watch over him? Didn't God promise him that in you all the families of the earth will be blessed? Didn't God say to him, you will be a blessing? I have great things for you. Remember what I told you about my friend Bob Morey when I went to Israel. Sam, you're immortal till it's your time. Nothing's going to happen to you till it's your time. You may have 1,000 people against you. You may have 1 billion Arabs against you. You may have 1 billion Jews against you. David said, there may be 1,000 against me, yet 1,000 shall fall at my right side. Nothing is going to touch you until God fulfills his promises that he has for you. Abraham took matters in his own hands. I've said this before, let me say it again. It's a principle of life that I've always lived by. And I've shared with many people who have confirmed it. When you think there's a problem, Where there is no problem, it creates problems. When you think there's a problem, now, that was a problem. There was a famine. But Abraham could have said, Lord, there's a famine in the land. What do you want me to do? God would have told him, where did I tell you to go? Well, you told me to come here. Well, that's plan A. I think I need to think about plan B. Already, that was the first problem. That was the beginning of the crash. It says, he went down, he sojourned there, for the famine was severe in the land. Let me show you, interestingly, if I can, I'm going to move forward here. You know, I'm not quite adept, but I'm going to come back with this. I want to show you a similar incident that happened to his son. This is about Isaac. There was a famine in the land beside the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gur the Abimelech, king of Philistines, and the Lord appeared to him, Isaac, and said, do not go down to Egypt. Isn't that interesting? Do you follow? He said, wait a minute, your father blew it. He took matters in his own hands. He said, no, there's a problem. There was no problem, Isaac, with your grandfather or your father's situation. God intervenes and stops Isaac from doing the same mistake his father did. Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands. I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. You get the picture? This is unbelievable. Are you here this morning? Hello? 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 You seem dead. You seem dead. You seem like you're a speck of dust with air pumped inside of you. Isn't that amazing that God himself has to intervene and tell him, wait, you've got the wrong genes inside of you. You got your father's genes inside of you. You're going to make the same mistake. Imagine there was a famine. He refers to the famine and he tells his son, wait. Unbelievable. Well, what do we learn from the passage? It says that he went down to Egypt, and this is what he says. He says to his wife, this is in verse 12 of that passage, when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Mistake number two, he already began to interpret the next negative step because he already took the first negative step. Oh, wait a minute, I'm going down to Egypt. Oh, wait a minute, I got to think about a scheme and figure out something here, because when I go down to Egypt, they will say, how do you know they will say? How do you know they will say? Well, I've heard. Well, how do you know you've heard that it's accurate? Well, you see what I'm saying? The slippery slope. I'm going to just go back for a minute, if I can. Forgive me just a moment here. I'm sorry. I've made a boo-boo here. Just a second. Please follow with me. I'm sorry. Shouldn't have gone back. No. Just. So, it says he went down, he came near to Egypt, and he said to his wife, see, now I know you're a beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Now, notice also, the next problem is, it's about me. Notice. They will kill me, but they will let you live. Oh, that's an interesting thought. Wife, you're going to live, I'm going to be dead, and I don't know if I like that arrangement. I'd rather live and maybe you're dead. Right? Right? Please say that you are my sister so that it may go well with me because of you. Third thing, I've got to make up a story. I got to change the facts. I got to lie about this situation. I mean, this is not good. Please say that you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, that I may live on account of you. Notice again, I. Remember in the beginning, God says, I'm going to bless you. I will increase your, I will be a blessing to you. Now it's all, but it all began because Abraham said, there's a problem. Where there is no problem, you create problems. You go down the slippery slope. And it came about when Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. We looked at that. Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Therefore, he treated Abram well. Wait a minute. he brought her. Does the plan work now? It's working. Oh, it's working. They didn't kill me. That it's my wife. They didn't do this to me. Maybe it's working. Maybe my lie is working. Maybe going down to Egypt is working because now I've got food. The sheep are there. The oxen are there. The donkey is there. The devil, always very interesting, does that. He's able to reward us enough for disobedience to keep us going on it. Well, maybe this is what God wants me to do. Maybe, yeah, it was right to go to Egypt. Yeah, it was right. Look, I've got the food. Look, they didn't kill me yet. I'm breathing. I'm alive. Yeah, I'm alive. See to it. Now, let me show you that this happened again in Abraham's life. He didn't learn a lesson from it, but he repeated it. This is later in Genesis chapter 20. And the king's name is called Abimelech, and he goes to this king, and Abraham said, because I thought surely there is no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. This is my point that I want to bring up. In the first situation, Abraham said, they will surely kill me, therefore I need to come up with this story. Here he says, because I thought. Let me tell you something. Those are one of the deadliest words you can ever put into your mind. Because I thought this, because I had suspicion here about this, because I had uncertainty about this here, therefore I start to manufacture. Let me tell you something, we're good at this. We're good at manufacturing our own scenarios and our own ideas and our own plans. Because I thought, and it all began with the wrong presupposition, there's a problem, there is no problem. Now it's creating all these problems for Abraham. Surely I thought there is no fear of God in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Beside, she actually is my sister. You see, now he's justifying his lie. She is my sister. I am right. She's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. You see, she is my sister. Is she your wife or is she not your wife, Abraham? Well, yes, she's my wife. Do you have sexual relations with her? Is she a sister or is she your? Do you see the slippery slope? You see how we in our mind conjure up justification, images, presuppositions, negativism, our own agenda, besides of my mother and not, and she became my wife. And it came about when God caused me to wander from my father's house. What a slap in God's face. Look at this. God calls me to wander. I'm wandering. I don't know where I'm going. Oh, God. Woman, God, it's the woman you gave me. Adam says to God. When God says, Adam, did you sin? Well, there is a problem. There was no problem, Abraham. Well, there's a problem. There is no problem, Abraham. Well, there's a problem. And I think there's a problem. Therefore, I'm naked now, and now I've got a big problem. I'm a sinner. And you know who's at fault? You're at fault, God. It's the woman you gave to me. Look at this slippery slope. He accuses God for causing him to wander from my father's house. That I said to her, this is the kindness which you will show to me. Everywhere we go, say of me, he is my brother. He's my brother. Tell my wife to lie for me. I will lie for my wife. God got me out in this wilderness. You see how this works? I mean, this is pretty traumatic, isn't it? I mean, this is Abraham, the patriarch, lying, scheming, accusing, pretty powerful. God caused me to wander from my father's house. Look what God brought me to. Now, believe it or not, this same episode happened to his son Isaac. Remember I read the first three verses about how God told him, don't move, stay where you are. He came to this king. You know who this king was? Abimelech, the same king that Abraham had this episode with. New generation, same king, similar situation. Isaac lived in Gerar. When the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, she is my sister. Isn't that something? The same lie, the same deception as his father. For he was afraid to say, my wife, thinking, the negative thought, the problem, the men of the place might kill me on account of Rebecca, for she is beautiful. And it came about that when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of Philistines, looked out through the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was caressing his wife, Rebecca. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, certainly, behold, she is your wife. How then did you say she is my sister? And Isaac said to him, because I said I might die on account of her. Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have laid with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. So Abimelech charged all the people, say, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. He finds the exact opposite of what he thought. Sure, I got to protect myself. No, your sin could have brought about death and a problem in this man's own household. Own household. What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain, and you've brought this guilt upon us. And then they start to dictate, don't touch this man's wife. Surely he shall, anybody who does it, shall be put to death. Let me tell you a very powerful principle to everybody who's alive and listening and breathing this morning. What you are as a person will be reflected in your children. You know, I'm not a big person on counseling, but I've counseled enough alcoholics whose fathers were alcoholics and grandfathers were alcoholics. And they say, it's almost like in my genes, I've got an alcohol problem. You know, you've got a problem. And you know something? Your son and daughter will be an alcoholic. What is it going to take? It takes you, by the power of God, to break that cycle. It takes the power of God. You have to come to Christ and you have to say, I'm a bitter person. My mother was a bitter person. My children will be a bitter person. I want to break that bitterness now. Now. Not only for my sake, for my children's sake, I want to break it now. It takes a real man of God, a woman of God to do that. Let me tell you something. Look at this man, this son, patriarch, does the same thing as his father, the deception, the same rumination, the same plot, the same disobedience to God. When God even goes to him and he says, listen, don't leave the land, don't do it like your father did. So shall Abraham be. Great patriarch, falling on his face. My mother has a big problem with something. And I've got the same problem. What'd you say? She's not bald. I don't know what Don said, but I just... She's not bald, no. And you don't know how many times I've come to the Lord. I said, Lord, Lord, please be merciful to me, the sinner. Break, 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 break this cycle of sin in my family for my children's sake, for my sake. And I'll tell you, it ain't easy. It ain't easy. When the devil's got a grip, When you've got a problem with anger, your children will be angry. I'll tell you that. When you got a problem with materialism, your kids will be materialistic. When you got a problem with negativism, your children are going to be negative. It takes a man. I'm not saying I'm the man, but it takes a man of God, a woman of God, to humble himself, to confess, to repent day after day after day after day after day. Lord, change, help me, guide me, work in me, relieve me, whatever. Please, 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 please do this in me. Do this in me. Well, it was pretty bad. It goes from bad to worse. It goes from bad to worse. Let's read on. Genesis 12, 17 to 20. So here is the lie. Here's the deception. Here's the presupposition. Here's the negativism. The Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So remember where the story is. He takes his sister, quote, and he leaves Abram alone. Then Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife?" Abraham's plotting brought destruction on others. It poisoned Pharaoh's household. Lotus. The Lord struck Pharaoh and his house. I mean, was Pharaoh wrong? I mean, it didn't say he laid with her. It didn't say that there was this situation you may think. Maybe he took her as a harlot. We doesn't say that. You can't assume that. But the reason this happened is because God was going to do something for Abraham and Sarah, and someone was getting in the way. Follow, you see what I'm saying? The Lord had promised to Abraham, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to use you." And yet suddenly, someone is getting in the way, and the Lord has to take matters in his own hands. The Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Then Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Here is a heathen talking to a Christian about his sin." How do you like that as a testimony? How do you like that as a testimony? And no doubt a patriarch. And no doubt the blessings to the world. A heathen king serving other gods, accusing correctly Abram of his wrongness. And it all began with the little slippery slope. "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Take her and go." Can I say this for a minute? Imagine for a minute. Imagine for a minute the testimony of Abraham. Remember what I told you? The power of Abraham's life, of what is unique about him, is that he brought monotheism. Monotheism. The one God. And here could have been, I don't know. Of course, we know that Abraham was disobedient. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and he was disobeying God. He was going the wrong way, etc., and all these things that go along with it. And yet, you know, it's amazing how sometimes when we're not, you know, I've said this. God is the only person that can take our sins and use them to bring about good. And here is a situation that God could have used, maybe, that the one true light about the gospel and the one true light about knowing God and the truth about monotheism could have been expressed. Notice what Pharaoh says. "Get out of here. Go. Get out of here." Abraham lost his whole testimony. He ruined his testimony. Imagine him saying, "Oh, before I go, can I give you a track? Oh, before I go, can I have a few minutes with you? I'm here to tell you the one God What do you mean you tell me the one God? You're not even telling me the truth. And you want to tell me about God? And you want to tell me about the one God? And you want to show me how to worship God? Saddest words. So then here is your wife. Take her and go. And notice what Pharaoh says. Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they escorted him away. Abraham blew it so bad that here was a heathen king saying, not only did I not want to hear from this man, I want to make sure he's off my property. That's how detestable Abraham was. How detestable. I want to make sure you're gone. He brings an escort. You think to protect him? I want to make sure he's off my land. I don't need his problems. I don't need his suffering to destroy me. I don't need his sin to affect and disinfect and poison others and poison me and poison my house. They escorted him away with his wife and all that belonged to him. All that belonged to him. And it all began with the slippery slope. There was no problem. God promised great things for Abraham. God wanted to accomplish great things for Abraham. Now, on a side, for a time, for a moment, it was all wrong and all destroyed in that way. Genesis 13, 1 to 4. So Abraham went up from Egypt to Negev, he and his wife and all that belongs to him, and Lot with him. Now Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. I'm not sure if there's another verse. Yes. And went on his journeys from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning. He returns back there between Bethel and Ai to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly. Remember, we talked about that in chapter 12. And there Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. So Abraham returns back to the spot. He sojourns back there and he goes back to where he started. And that's, you know, that's the good thing about God. God is always the point of a new beginning. It is never too late to say, I was wrong. I spoke in haste. I've been addicted to materialism. It's never too late. It's never too late to rectify. It's never too late to rectify. He brings him back to the same spot. Remember, Abraham, you were here? Remember how it began here? I'm going to bring you back here, and I'm going to tell you what happened. God took Abraham to the woodshed. Now, it's not inferred here. Let me tell you something. Let's go over the scenario, Abraham. Let's go over it. Let's start off with your thinking. Let's start off with your deception. Let's talk about your I, your self-interest. Let's talk about your testimony. Let's talk about your children. If you did this, what will your children do? You don't even have children. I'll give you children. He brought him back to that same place, to the altar. Bethel, of course, means the house of God, the place of God. Now, let me show you that this place, of course, was going to come up later in 35. This is Jacob. This is his grandson. God said to Jacob, arise, go to Bethel and live there and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and all who were with him, put away foreign gods which are among you. Purify yourself, change your garments, let us arise and go up to Bethel, the same spot as his grandfather, the same place of repentance and recommitment and renewal as his grandfather. And I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone. What a testimony. What a testimony of his grandson that Abraham would be able to foresee because Abraham repented and turned and rectified and healed and brought blessings as he came back to Bethel in the altar of God. But let me tell you something, it takes a real man, a real woman to do that. Abraham said, well, I was right. I'm alive, Lord. I'm alive. Hey, I could have been killed over there. Didn't I say to Abraham, I'm going to bless you? Didn't I say to you, all the families of the earth will be blessed? He lacked faith. He lacked trust. He trusted in his scheme rather than trusting in what the Lord had. Remember what Jesus said? He who tries to save his life will lose it. And he who's willing to lose his life will save it. We're always about that. We're always scheming and figuring out how for self-preservation. Self-preservation. Change happens. Renewal happens. Newness happens when we're not interested in self-preservation. Look what this man did. I mean, so I'm showing you, let me show you. I showed you the negative in Isaac's life, imitating his father. I'm showing you the positive in Jacob's life, imitating his grandfather when Abraham did what was right. When Abraham did what was right. He was brought back to Bethel. He could have said, I'm going to go another place. Bethel didn't rescue me. No, he came back. He realized what he had done. He realized ruined the testimony, the influence and what he did on the family there, on Pharaoh's household, what he could have brought upon them. All these things. Who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone. You know, these are words that you and I should always remember. In whatever we do, you know, I visited a new family in our church this week and was in their home. And they told me how they come to our contemporary service, and I'll repeat this, they'll be here. He's an airline pilot with America West. But he told me very openly how in his first year of marriage, they were just about to get divorced. It was bad, he said. And then he said they both repented and they both committed their life to Christ and their whole life turned around. And he said the thing that he realized more than anything was that he realized that he was worse than he thought he was. Let me tell you something. We're not sinners. We're sinners. Capital S, capital I, capital N-N-E-R. We're sinners. We're big sinners. You and I don't know how bad we are. But that's why Jesus came into the world, to save sinners. To save sinners. These are words you and I should keep on everything we do. You shall not worship, Exodus 21:5. You shall not worship them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children on the third and fourth generation. But not patriarchs. Oh, yes, sirree, patriarchs. Not born-again Christians. Oh, yes, sirree, born-again Christians. I'm a born-again Christian. God won't do that to me. Watch. God didn't say to a Christian or non-Christian. He said, this is the principle. I will visit the iniquity of the fathers on their children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. And when we don't follow God, when we have our own idea, when we have our scheming, we're not loving God. He who loves me obeys my commandments. But showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You can say the same inference to the third and fourth generation. You know, I've said this before, let me say it again. You've all heard of Billy Graham. You know who I'd like to meet? I'd like to meet Billy Graham's grandfather. That's who I'd like to meet. I'd like to meet Nathan Goff's grandfather. You don't want to know my grandfather. I hope someday he says, I'd like to know the grandfather of a third generation Rotman. I want to know John MacArthur's grandfather. That's who I want to meet. Because he had a very godly grandfather. He's a generation of five generations of pastors. Five generations of pastors. he's just the tip of the iceberg. I want to see what was established below. But it takes a real man of God to do that. A real man of God. I tell you, it takes commitment, humbling, determination. Those who call upon me and keep my commandments. You know, I've always amazed Job. Job was a man who went through terrible problems and situations, and we know that he was not deserving of them. We know that the devil was in it tempting him. The devil was in it to put his hand upon him and to do this to him. But I'm always amazed at what God said to Job when God finally answers Job. These are the first words God says. There's all this talk going on. There's all this verbiage going on. Remember about Abraham. Abraham, the whole story, right? Abraham already figured out how to cover his tracks for his disobedience. So he had a whole story figured out in his mind. He had it all figured out. And then he had another story of how to respond in case they asked some questions. And then he even perhaps had another story that if he blew everything, what he would be able to accomplish and figure out. I mean, it was all figured out. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Job, you're a righteous man. You don't deserve this. No, look what he said to him. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Who is this that darkens counsel? That changes my plan for him, blessings for him. Darkens counsel by words without knowledge. Now gird up the loins like a man. Huh, that's not easy. Be a man, Job. Be a man. Gird up your loins like a man, and I will ask you, and you instruct me. And what did Job say? I repent in sackcloth and ashes. I repent. I have spoken wrongly, foolishly. And God restored to Job more than he had previously. But it takes a real man to do that. It takes a real man or woman in the case maybe. Well, the life of Abraham, that's why I love to preach about them. Because you really see, hey, we can quote, we have every blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And then you wonder why your kids are falling apart. You may say, Boy, cast all your burdens upon me because he cares for you. And then you wonder why you've got the situations you've got. And it all begins, and I'm saying this very honestly, because of negative addiction, whatever it may be, we start down that slippery slope that ultimately crashes. Abraham crashed and burned. Testimony, commitment, lack of faith, fear, anxiety. It just blew him apart. And God had to put him back together again. That's what happened back at Bethel. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, we come to you because we are worse than we think. But you are greater than we think. We are great sinners, but you're a great God. And we come to you and we see in the life of Abraham how his scheming and how his presuppositions drove him away from what you wanted to accomplish. He ruined his testimony. He ruined many aspects of his life that we shall even see in coming pages. And yet, Lord, you're great. Abraham was not great. You are great because you said, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. Lord, we mix up things. We complicate things. We destroy things. You're the one that heals. You're the one that renews. You're the one that gives new life. So, Father, In each of our cases, whatever it may be, personally, I pray, Lord, that we would learn from this man and learn from you. Bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to have you. Please greet one another in his love.